Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشير الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وجمعة مبارك فأما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيب صدق الله العظيم surely Allah the mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the first ayah of Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4 of the Quran, often translated as the women. An expression of it is, O you socialized creature, be regardful of your guardian evolver, the one who gave you your form from a single spiritual essence and formed from it its mate. And mission from the two of them, men and women, many. And be regardful of Allah, the one whom you turn to, you implore, you seek for your mutual rights. And be regardful of the relationships. Surely Allah is over you as a supervisor. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. I want to add a verse here, a portion of a verse, Surah Al-Isra, I believe, 17. Qul, رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. And say, my Lord, bestow on them your mercy, even as the two of them cherished me when I was little. And Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. Our subject today is education is a sacred matter. Education is a sacred matter, and it will be our theme for literally the month of August, I would say. We know that at large, young people are returning to school, so it's on our minds, but we also have a major event coming up as well. So this theme supports both. So let's start with quote-unquote an abstract, a simple message from the first verse of the fourth surah. I know many of you perhaps recognize that this verse is a verse, I believe it's called Qutbatul Hajjah. Many people begin their khutbah, that is their opening portion of the khutbah will include this particular verse and perhaps about three others, which are actually all included in the marriage khutbah generally. But this is generally the cornerstone verse, the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran, the cornerstone verse. And what you can learn from that is really, Allahu A'lam, everything that Allah is telling us about what it takes to construct life in society. Yeah, you're Nasrat. The temptation is to go down granular, but I'm not trying to. Allahu A'lam. Yeah, you're Nas, old social creatures. So first thing, you understand, we are socialized creatures. You and I are how we are and who we are because of the way that we've been socialized. If we weren't socialized, we wouldn't be quote-unquote civilized. And one of the root meanings of an-nisa is the socializer, the socializer. Women socialize men. Women socialize children. They civilize us in that, and that's what an-nisa actually is, and that's what it does. Most of us men, if we're honest with ourselves, we would probably go to no social events unless it's a guy thing. You know, if it's a guy thing, yeah, we'd go with the boys. But generally speaking, when you start talking about, you think about anything else, I'm talking even weddings and other kind of, you know, let's just go see my family or whatever. It's kind of like, eh. You know, it's like if we're honest with ourselves, and I don't know how many of you ready to be honest. Most of our civilization, I know there's some clothes I wouldn't change unless my wife said, man, it's time to change that shirt, Fahim. Time to change that shirt. I try to put something on, she said, nah, that don't look good on you. You know what I'm saying? I think it's fly, you know, the old language. You know, nah. And I will not put it on because I am not ready for that kind of conversation. But most times when you see a guy wearing something nice, the man looks good. Yeah, man, my wife bought it for me, man. As a general rule, she has that sophistication. So the point is that they civilize us. And even if I use that analogy, that metaphor of Beauty and the Beast, that Beauty and the Beast idea is basically in long form, it is civilizing the man who would otherwise be a savage, right? His compliance and conforming and his doing what is best in those circumstances, what brings him back to being, quote unquote, that prince in that particular mythology. So all of this is just to say that women are socializers. Women are our socializers. It says, Taqu Rabbakum, be regardful of your guardian evolver. Inshallah, we'll spend more time with this particular aspect of it. Rabb. But starting with taqwa is having due regard, very, very important. Everything that I'm saying, it's an invitation to have due regard for this. What I just said about women and how women socialize men, have due regard for that. Give that the right attention that it is due. I see people in the audience who've been married for many, many, many years, and they will bear witness that my wife, I'm speaking of men right now, and I know the women, it takes two to tango, right, Abdul? So it's like it's like there are two people involved, but I'm thinking much more about the men, because many of the men have learned. Those are those long-term marriages. You have been shaped, you have been molded, you have been smoothed out, you have been refined, you have become less angry, you've become less of those kind of things because of the presence of your wife. So she has that aspect of smoothing us out, right? And you have to have due regard for that, and that's a part of our evolution. And Allah, the Rabbakum, He's the one who gave you your form, and now speaking at that point is speaking about the form that you have comes from a spiritual essence. The form that you have comes from a spiritual essence. And that spiritual essence, short version, nafsun wahida is actually the soul of the human being. And as such, it is not male or female in the biological sense of it. It is the excellence of the masculine and the excellence of the feminine. Allah conceived of it. Allah created it. Allah embodied it in a spiritual essence that's been labeled for us here, nafsun wahida. But in nafsun wahida is the excellence of the masculine and the excellence of the feminine. So when it says wabatha minhuma, it says wa khalaqa minha ha nafsun wahidatin. Khalaqa minha zawjaha, its mate. Created from it, its mate. So whatever is the mate is going to look like what the original is. The thing is that the mate of this spiritual essence, which is the masculine and feminine excellence, has been embodied in the male form and in the female form. The female, physical, biological, female, is the home and the main projector and the main, reality and symbol of the feminine. Listen to what I'm saying. Female, feminine. Female, feminine. Male, masculine. Male, masculine. All right? Masculine, abstract. Male, concrete. Feminine, abstract. Female, concrete. Female body, biology, concrete. Feminine, abstract. Male body, biology, concrete. Masculine, abstract. So masculine is spiritual. Feminine is spiritual. The main home and expression of the feminine abstract is the female concrete. The home of the expression of the masculine is the biological male. So we as males are the housing of the excellence of the masculine, and female, the housing of the essence of the feminine. All right. Separated, male, female, we are, let's just call it, we say it often, but it's simple enough for abstract, we're half. When we come back together, we're whole. When we come back together, we're whole. Now, I'm talking earth now. So here we are, male and female come back together in marriage. They come back together, married, one body now. They're one body, okay? But those two, husband, wife, those two have to work with due regard for the expectation in the masculine and the feminine created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah says, وَبَثَ مِنْهُمَا, and He commissioned from the two of them, which two is He talking about? His ideas of, I'm putting it that way, I think I'm simplifying it, his ideas of what is true masculine and what is true feminine, the excellence of the masculine, excellence of the feminine, abstract, his ideas, now a man has to subscribe to it and a woman has to subscribe to it, and then when they come together in marriage, they are reforming and representing the original ideal in nafsun wahida. So then it says, wabasa minhuma, boom, boom. These, they're reacting. The man is in, if the man is acting according to the excellence that Allah ordained for him by nature, and the woman is acting in accordance with the nature that's ordained for her by nature, and when the two of them, when the man subscribes to the masculine excellence as ordered by Allah, and when the woman subscribes to the feminine excellence as ordered by Allah, and then they cooperate with each other under that same expectation, now they are dynamically relating to what Allah intends for them. And then what happens? Min huma, huma means two. From the two of them, I want you to understand who the two are. From the two of them, countless rijal and kathira wa nisa. Men and women come from that. Now, I'm going to call it a jump. The verse takes a jump from the two of them, men and women. What happened to boys and girls? It goes straight from the two of them, men and women. Okay, so in the first order, you automatically just think that, okay, what's that talking about is Adam and Eve. That's our mindset. We already have a category for that, Adam and Eve, and then all men and women came from Adam and Eve. Brief reminder, Eve is not mentioned in the Quran for a number of reasons, Allahu A'lam. But the point is that we should ask ourselves, what happened in between? What happened in between? What happened to the children? What happened to the girls and boys? Do human beings come forward whole as men and come forward whole as women? No. Rabb, Allah, the Rabb. Taqrabbakum, the one who created you. What is Rabb? Rabb is the one who evolves a thing from its simple to its complex state. Allah is the one, a thing starts out in the way that, let's just go with the egg. Let's start with that. Egg, there, but that's not the end of it, unless it's time for breakfast. But given that it survives that process, then what happens? It evolves, it evolves, it evolves. Whatever that egg was to be, it becomes that. What makes that possible? Who does that? The Rabb, Allah. He evolves it. All right. Well, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does from sperm and ovum meeting together in zygote and then evolves into a whole being, into a whole being. Now, the one who created from them countless men and women. So let's bring in the second verse that I read, or the portion of it that I read, 17:24. قُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَرْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Say, tells the believers to say, O Allah, my Lord, as you say, Kurabbir, my Lord, Harhuma, have mercy on them. Kama Rabayani Sagira, as they did upon me, as they nurtured me. Rabbayani, I want you to hear Rabb for the Lord, and Rabbayani for the process that parents exert on the new life to cause it to realize that destiny that Allah has for it. Huh? Allah is the Rabb, right? تَقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Be regardful of the one who evolved you from simple to complex. The one who evolved you from simple to complex. What is that? Rabb. Then we are told to make this prayer. قُوا. God is saying, here's an order. Kul, Rabbi, it's Rabbi, my Lord, harhuma, have mercy on them. Kama rabayani saghira, as they cherished, they rubbed me. There's always a play in that word. Because if you listen to it in the English way, they rubbed me. They rubbed me. That happens sometimes too. Sometimes parents rob their children. And how do they rob their children? In such cases, it's when they fail to nourish and nurture them in the way that Allah has ordered for them to be nourished and nurtured. And in that, since it was their responsibility and they failed in that responsibility, they robbed their children rather than rubbed their children. And we ask Allah's forgiveness for that. So mashallah, that any of our children survive us. That's a mercy. You know, I did that, and you still want to have something to do with me? You may as well be honest. It's probably real late in the game anyway. Just keep it pushing. Just recognize Allah's in charge. Most of us, we weren't Muslims. Most of us are reverts to al-Islam, right? And most of our parents, they weren't even directing us to al-Islam. All right, but somehow Allah found us. He wasn't lost, we were lost. Somehow Allah found us, grabbed us by the head, by the heart, whatever, and said, hey, look, boy, you're going over here. And dropped us in al-Islam, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So who has more hope, our children or us? Because at least we have the opportunity to expose them to al-Islam, where we, who were reversed to al-Islam, we weren't even exposed to it, and Allah made a way for us to become Muslims. All I'm saying is that don't give up hope. Don't beat yourself up. Don't give up hope for your child. I had this thought, obviously, this morning, we talk about our children, right? My quote-unquote children is one is closer to 50 than she is to 40, and one over 30, and two over 30, and mashallah. So the point, but they're still our children. They're always going to be our children, right? But sometimes, you know, we go with offspring or what have you. But they're grown folks, right? Many of us, some of you still have young offspring as well. So the point is that the term for parenting is tarbiyah. I want you to hear the same root is in there. Rabb, as the cornerstone of what I'm talking about, who is the Rabb? He's the one that evolves things from its simple to its complex stages. By doing what? By giving it what it needs in the measure that is needed, at the time that is needed, in the method that is needed. If you want to grow a certain fruit, certain plant, certain vegetables, there's a certain way to do it. You know, a little factoid that hangs around my mind sometimes is it takes 12 gallons of water to make one orange. It takes 12 gallons of water to make one orange. What is that? There are other plants and other vegetables, fruits, or what have you, that require a different measure of water, and another that calls for a different measure of sun, calls for a different measure of humidity, calls for a different measure of shade and soil and location, etc. All right. Well, it's the same way with child. Listen, what do we call the first entry point to institutional education in our society? One is called nursery school, right? It's nursery school, right? Is that not also a place where you grow plants? What about kindergarten? Kindergarten, that's where the child garden. It's German, a child garden, kindergarten. And mashallah, this is Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he tells us, they didn't come up with that on their own. They didn't like, yeah, well, let's just call it kindergarten. Yeah, nursery school, that's a good idea. No. Inna Allaha anbatakum min al-ardi nabat. Allah says in the Quran, surely Allah created you growing from the earth like a plant. That's your kindergarten. That's your nursery right there in the Quran. And the people who are first order responsible for their cultivation is the parents. The parents. In fact, I didn't include it here, but in the verse that precedes this, 17-foot one, I got a Quran in front of me. Why not go ahead and read it? Huh? Not a good idea. Seventeen 17:23. And it says, and your Lord decreed that you worship none but him, and that you be kind to parents, whether one or both of them attain old age in this life or during your lifetime, and say not to them a word of contempt, nor repel them, but address them in terms of honor. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next order of taqwa, in the verse that we read, first verse, fourth surah, وَتَقُوا وَالْأَرْحَامِ وَتَقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, and have regard for Allah and the relationships. Arham means wombs. It's plural for wombs. And we have many wombs that evolve us, that grow us, that we grow in. In fact, Allah says in the Quran that he evolved you in three wombs of darkness. So there are wombs that we evolve in and out of and through. Well, the first womb is the womb of our mothers, of course. The second womb is the womb of our family life, our family life. Third womb in this construction is the social life. The social life affects our growth again. But I want to get back to the point that first there's Allah, have taqwa for Allah. Then Allah says, have the same taqwa for arham. Have the same taqwa for the wombs. And Allah has deputized, by his design, he has deputized parents to take over the job of human cultivation once that child is delivered. When the child is delivered, Allah has charged those who are the parents of the child, now it's your job to do for this human being what I have ordered for you to do in order for them to get to where I created them to go. Is that clear? It's a responsibility. Allah allowed the conception to take place. Allah allowed the birth to take place. And when the child comes forward, now the responsibility falls upon the parent to not just, well, I put a roof over your head, put some food in your stomach, put your shoe, maybe you shut your mouth, whatever. You know, you maybe some of y'all heard that conversation once or twice. But I know Muslims don't talk like that, so I'm just trying to remind you that it does happen in some places. The idea is that God is saying, now is your responsibility. How do we know that? Same word for parenting. Tarbiyah has that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that attribute of Allah in it. Rabb. Tarbiyah, parenting. Also, tarbiyah, education. Same word. Tarbiyah, parenting. Tarbiyah, education. The root, rabb. So therefore, our parenting is supposed to support the destiny of the nature of that new human being. Our parenting and our educational system is to support the destiny of that new human being, fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah. It is our responsibility. When we are blessed to have children, it's not just a matter of pride, it's a responsibility. And there's a destiny for that human being. And there's a blueprint in their very nature that the parents are supposed to respect out of and in their respect for taqwa, their respect and regard for their Lord, cherisher, and sustainer who blessed them with a child and obligated them to support Allah's plan for that child to get to where Allah wants it to grow. That's where education comes in, both for the parent and for the child. Most of us, first child, we didn't know what we were doing. Sometimes they didn't know what the hell we were doing, but I shouldn't say that. We didn't know what we were doing. That they survived at all, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. that they survived at all. And I was telling a parent over the eve, sometimes we, whatever, you all know, sometimes we just don't do the right thing when it comes to our young people, our children. We just don't know. We just don't know. But the mistake that we make sometimes is that we think we do know. That's probably the biggest mistake right there. I know. My daddy never blah blah blah. My mama never blah blah. He said, "You even act like you think you gonna say something other than what I'm saying." You know, you gonna find yourself looking at the ceiling. You know, so I was like, "Nah, maybe that worked then, because that's the conversation ends, and I'm all right." Okay, jury might still be out on that one, but the point is, I said I have to remind us. I remind us. Like, you have never been the child to you as a parent. You understand? You have never been your child with you as the parent. You might not like it either. The hell, is that me? I don't blame them. Okay, so what do we have to find? We have to get the right knowledge. So we have to do for them what Allah intends for them to do, what Allah intends to be done for them. Now, Ali radiallahu anhu, who is said to be the first intellectual in Islam, that's one of the labels that's put on Ali radiallahu anhu. There's an athar, which is a saying. It's not a hadith, therefore, I mean, it is a hadith, but since hadith has been claimed as a term to relate to reports tied directly to the Prophet, that term does not apply explicitly to sayings from the companions. But Ali, so this ether from Ali, Allahu A'lam, it says, لاعبهم لسبع وعادبهم لسبع وخالله لسبع ثم أترك زمام الأمور. Says, play with them for 7 years. Teach them the adab. I'm going to leave that term there. Teach them the adab for 7 years. And then be their friend for 7 years. Then let loose the reins. A lot of rich teaching in that. But it also conforms, meaning that I find in that a validation what the slower social sciences arrived at 1,400 years later. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 1,400 years later, the slow-moving social sciences came to the same conclusion 1,400 years later, whereas Ali abstracted it from al-Islam and the thinking that comes with those whose minds got turned on with al-Islam, the Quran, life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Modern social science has these three phases: imprinting, modeling, socializing. Imprinting, modeling, socializing. The imprinting phase is from 0 to 7. The modeling phase is from 8 to 14. The socializing phase is from 15 to 21. Now, overlay that, which they have their scientific research methodology, and they came to that conclusion, but Allah revealed it and evolved it in the life of a Muslim in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The imprinting phase is where all the all the five senses and all of its skills and all of those, the repertoire that comes with that, fine motor skills, hand-eye coordination, blah, 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 blah. All that happens, what, from 0 to 6? Not only that, language gets formulated. Infant is a French term, or comes from a French term, that means without speech, without speech. Infancy fundamentally ends when speech is stabilized. When speech is stabilized, that's the end of infancy. Your five-year-old, they're still an infant. Why? Because their language repertoire is not complete. It's not mature. But by the time they reach 7 years old, language repertoire is solid for the language of their native language, right? All right. So from 0 to 7, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, from 0 to 7, you are to play with them. Do you understand that it is play that develops all of that repertoire in children? But how many parents, especially men, I don't play with my children. I ain't got no time to play, man. Everything's serious. No? But then your child's not going to get the development. So it's so much to say. I got to move on to the time. Clock ticking. I'll say this. If your child is not socialized by the time they get to be 4 years old, they're done for the rest of their life. That's what the science says. If your child is that child that nobody wants to see coming, they are not going to make it. They can't make it because of the fact that, hey, bro, you doing too much. Check this brother right here. Yeah. Please just have a seat, bro. Just have a seat. And you are, move on. When you come in, that's all right, Alpha. They got it. We got it. If everything had accorded normally, but when you start doing taslim in the middle of qiyam and all the rest of that, man, you either you don't know or you trying to create some kind of problem. I'm not accepting it. Hey, and y'all handle that out there outside the door. My hair. You hold on to your post, man. If they can't handle it, then it won't be handled. I mean, it'll be back up in here. If he get back by y'all, well, hey, I'm doing what I got to do. But I got to have Abdul back me up before I even get that far. So he's pretty much done. Later for that, man. So I know it's a distraction. But, you know, you got to decide, are you going to let that go or you not? And I listened to two of the most recent addresses of the imam, somebody sleeping in the audience. He stops to say, look, go wash your face and come back. In the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi, in the most recent one, he's saying, you're not supposed to do anything in the Jum'ah to distract people from what the khatib is saying. Nothing. This is a part of the prayer. The two khutbah, the two portions of khutbah before and the two rak'ahs after, they are understood to be zuhr prayer. Okay? So listen, you got to decide what's acceptable and unacceptable. And that's unacceptable. And like I was saying, I was watching. It's like, but when you start, you don't know how to do the prayer. You come to prayer and you don't know how to do the prayer. And you're doing it at a time and in a place that's a distraction for what's really going on. I got to ascribe that to Shaitan. That's what I do. And we gotta learn. We gotta stop being scared, man. This, do you understand? This whole society is set up. The frightening bar is what they have put out there to make everybody scared of everybody else, so that they can manage the menagerie. Listen, you got to understand, say, look, if you're going to do that, you have to do that out there. I know many of you are moving on that old FOI gene. That's good. I'm glad some of them are still left. The idea is when you come across these borders, you come into another state, and we have to be responsible for our state. That's it. Listen, let me, since we got there, mashallah, listen. A man came in, and the prophet was sitting in the masjid. A man came in, and he made, quote-unquote, prayer. And when he finished what he did, he went back and he walked past the prophet, and the prophet said, go back, you haven't prayed. The prophet told him, go back, you haven't prayed. And so the man went back, and he did the same thing that he did when the prophet was observing him. And he went back past the prophet. And the prophet told him again, go back. You haven't prayed. And so then when it happened a third time, and then which was the prophet is trying to get him to say, well, you need to ask me how I should pray. If I tell you go back and pray, and then you go do the same thing, and I tell you that you didn't do it right, ain't it time for you to ask me, well, what should I be doing? And so then the prophet said, pray the way you see me praying. And then the prophet demonstrated how to make the prayer. Okay? So everything that is called prayer that we do is not prayer. That's what you get from what the prophet said. You can go through the motions of what you think is the prayer, but if it doesn't conform with what the prophet gave, you have not prayed. So, mashallah, I pray Allah bring your spirit back to being settled, et cetera. But this is reality. This is reality. So I really, really, I'm not pleased with people who say they are believers and Muslims, but don't respond to the wrong that people do in the name of religion as though, hey, what can I do about it? That's not what makes a stable world. Remember that. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. You know what happens? We're gonna this conversation is gonna continue. بسم الله. Education, because that's education right there. And let's synchronize it with what I've already said, even though I'm not finished with the imprinting, modeling, socializing. But here's an example. Education happens also on three levels. There's the formal, the informal, and the technical. The formal, the informal, and the technical. What you just experienced is a real-time formal lesson. That's a textbook case of a formal lesson. Add that to what I've said about what the prophet said about the man prayed, didn't pray, etc. What I've said about no distractions that takes attention away from the khatib was being given. You need to understand, the khatib, it also means prescription. He's giving you a prescription. Medicine is being administered. And then you're interrupting the medicine being administered? That's a problem. Formal is language, or pardon me, is knowledge gained by correction. Get that straight, brother and sister. Formal, informal, technical. Formal is education gained by correction. Do you let your children walk on the couch with the shoes on? Do you let them talk with their mouth full? Do you let them interrupt you when you're having a conversation and they want something and they want to jump in your conversation? Or do you let them run around the bank or the masjid, for that matter, at times when it's inappropriate? Or do you stop them and say, no, we don't do that. When we're here at this time, we do this. When we're there at that time, we do this. In the bank, we do this. In the store, we do this. At school, you do this. But that's formal. But it comes by way of correction. So that's formal. The informal is gained by the environment. Informal learning, and that's where most learning takes place. Most learning takes place informally. The way you see men interacting with women, women interacting with men, the employer interacting with the employee, different people interact with different people. There is an absorption of, it's called isomorphism. Bottom line, it's modeled for you. And nobody's telling you anything, but you're just watching. And by watching, you do this. When you see this kind of person, you do that. When you see that, that's informal. That's where most learning takes place, informal. Technical is what I'm doing right now. Technical is what I'm doing right now. That's the smallest percentage of our education. The largest percentage comes from the informal environment. A little more of a percentage comes from the formal. The highest portion comes from the informal. All right. Ali's athar. La'ibuhum lisabin, play with them for seven. So when a child under seven wants to play, you should respect the fact that that play is not just play, it's development. And as I said, if the child is not socialized by the time they're 4 years old, when I say socialized, meaning that they are not capable or willing to take the kind of formal instruction that goes with that age, when you have to tell them, don't do this, don't do that, et cetera. If they haven't gotten that willingness by the time they're 4 years old, they're not going to be socialized, and here's why. Fundamentally, it's because nobody wants to be bothered with them, not even other children. If you have grandchildren, if you have the older grandchild, as I do, yeah, you have an older grandchild that's 5 years old, and then you have a younger grandchild that's seven. Of course, one that's 12. You got one that's 12. You got one that's seven. You got one that's five. And you got two that are 3 years old. The five-year-old teaches the three-year-old how to be with games that they play. The seven-year-old teaches the five-year-old how to be. And the 12-year-old teaches this up. This is not something like, it's my job to do. It's nature. But if you get a child, they don't play well with others, pretty much you might have a psychopath on your hand. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to raise no red flags, but if a red flag needs to be raised, then you need to take a look at that. Because what will happen is other parents, I'm talking about uncles and aunts, et cetera, don't bring that boy over here. Don't bring that girl over here. They're going to tear up my furniture. They're going to tear up my house. So now the adults don't want to be bothered with them. Children their age don't want to be bothered with them because they don't know how to play right. So where do they get their socialization from? Bart Simpson and some other kind of crazy character on a video game or something like that. All right? So, La Ibrahim Lissabin, play with him for 7 years. I have to finish this. Of course, you know we were interrupted. And this is also one of the ways you get back at Shaitan. You know that when you forget how many rak'ahs you made, the assumption is you assume that you made the fewer, the lesser number. And then even when you finish that, you make two extra sujood. You make two extra sajdahs. It's that, so that if you are wrong, it's corrected. And if you're right, you've also done some extra, and it insult and it makes Satan upset. Okay, so I do have to upset Satan a little bit because he upset us. So let's upset Satan and make sure you ain't in that Satan bag now, right now. Well, you'll know how you feel as I continue. Man, why you had to go there? You better watch out. See who's talking. We almost done, but you better take this Al-Islam seriously or you're done. Second thing, adibuhum lisabin. Adibuhum lisabin. Adibuhum means teach them the etiquette. Teach them. Some translate it as discipline, but we have some wrong ideas about discipline. Adibuhum, adab. You've heard the term adab. Teach them etiquette. That's where the formal, informal, technical aspects come up. So teach them etiquette. Teach them etiquette. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells, teach them how to pray when they're seven. And then I know there's other language. I won't even bring that language now. But you should be a little more serious, I'll put it that way, for language sake, when they're 10. Okay? And separate them in their beds at that time. This is all inside the hadith. This is all a part of tarbiyah. This is all a part of the framework of knowledge that we're supposed to have and execute as deputies of God for the destiny of the children. If we don't know these things, then it becomes, okay, then who are you using? What are you using for your 0 to 7-year-old child? What are you using for your 8 to 14-year-old child? What are you using for the 15 to 21-year-old child? So moving faster. So the idea is adibuhum, teach them the adab. I'm going to give you a simple formula for adab. Adab means doing, it means appropriate balance, relationship, right? Adab, okay. Bad adab is taking your food into the bathroom, basically period. Forget about eating. It's like, come on, that's bad adab. All right? Bad adab is, if you're not the boss, to speak in a way to your boss that's not compatible with the relationship, wataqullaha wal arham, that's not compatible with, you're not the boss. If they're the boss, then there's a certain tone that you take, there's a certain language that you use, a certain language that you don't use, tone that you don't take. Same way with parents. That's the adab. Adab is, it even goes to fashion. Hey, look, you know, look. I don't know. There's so many things that's not expected. Okay, you come to Juma. Come on now. I hope you rock with me on this one. Like polka dot pants and a silk clown shirt. And it's not because you got to act to do an Eid. That's what you wore. That's bad adab, right? So the idea is adibuhum lisabi'in. Teach them the right relationships. Teach them the right protocol. Teach them etiquette, 8 to 14. Why? Because that's the modeling phase. The modeling phase is where the young person at that age is looking for what's the right thing to do. That's literally what they're looking for. Those pre-adolescent, quote-unquote, children, they will break rules, they will violate boundaries, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, that's an experiment. It's just to find out, is this right or is this not right? Should I, can I do this or can I not do this? How many times have you said to a child that age, boy, how many times do I have to tell you, blah, blah, blah? I don't know. I'm still experimenting. Because yesterday when I did it, you laughed. Today, now you're mad. So I probably have to do it again tomorrow to find out which one is the real rule. Now, if you react with some consistency in this particular situation, now I can add that to my rules. Now I have the adab for that, but we're going to have to start on something else because I'm still trying to learn. All right? So let's get past that because I want to conclude with the third piece so we can have that. All right, so why would the child even pay attention to you between 8 and 14? The child pay attention to you between 8 and 14 because you spend a lot of time playing with them between 0 and 7. But if you never play with the child from 0 to 7, then when they get to be 8, 10, pre-adolescent, et cetera, you want to tell them all the rules. Don't, and you ain't even talked to baseball with them one time. And then when you do that, you make that hard on them. Yeah, I don't even want to play football no more. You're the one that's going to teach me how to do it. All right? So the idea is that kind of window of accepting from us comes in consequence of doing the first thing. Do the first thing, play with me. Second thing, then I'll listen to you because I'm used to you telling me things that I like. And if that makes you happy, I'm going to do that. But if you didn't catch that first window, it's going to be real hard to catch that second window. And then after that 14, when that 14, when that 15 to 21 comes, it says, wa khaliluhum, be their friend. Just think about it. If you didn't do window one, you didn't do window two, how are you going to do window three? But if you do window one and do window two, then be their friend. Be their friend. I just got to give you the image that comes to mind is Yoda. Let's put it like that. The image that comes to mind is Yoda. When Yoda was telling Luke Skywalker, blah, blah, blah. I know that's too old for some of y'all. But it's like you got to that lesson when Yoda is saying you got to go into the dark forest or what have you. And so Luke said, you know, are you coming? He said, nah, you have to go in there on your own. I can't go with you. Right? That's how it is with us as parents. In those teenage years and after that, there's some things that they have to face that we can't make those decisions for them as much as we might want to. But if we've been, if we played with them, we've been their friend, then being, well, pardon me, taught them the etiquette, et cetera, then being their friend is easy. And plus that's the best advice. The best advice is be their friend. So you act with them like a friend. It don't mean, you know, do the crazy things that teenagers do. Yeah, we just friends. So now you just as much a child as they are doing the things that, no. The point is that you give them advice. If they accept it, you leave them the freedom to make choices, accept the consequences that go with the choices that they make, but you still treat them as a friend even when they make the wrong choice. They make the wrong choice because what? They're just living. And in life, they were faced with a choice. They made the wrong choice. All right, what would a friend do to someone who made the wrong choice? They would give them some advice, some checking, correcting, whatever it might be, but they do so as a friend, right? And then it says after 21. So now, the after 21, you really, the door, in a very real sense, that door is actually closed. And Al-Islam does not invite you to try to run their lives or fix their lives or correct their lives or whatever, direct their lives. After 21, it's like you really on your own. And that's how it should be. It says, and let loose the reins. So letting loose the reins is much more successful when we have done those previous three. And I already know, me for one, as an example, I know because I didn't even know this until after I had three children or what have you. So I understand most of us, we miss those windows, but most of us have grandchildren now. Many of us have grandchildren now. And some of us older, we have nephews and nieces, et cetera. Everything I'm talking about doesn't have to be just done by the parent. It can be done by the uncle. It can be done by the nephew, the auntie, et cetera, for the grandchild, the niece, the nephew, et cetera. If you know the process, then that child needs it. Whatever they need at that time, if you know those windows, give them what they need in that way. You may be the only resource for them to get what they should be getting in order for them to matriculate more properly in their development as a human being. Allahu a'lam, alhamdulillah, and we will continue at another time. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله. This is unusual. I'll have to go ahead and continue, so I want to make sure that make these announcements, so this will be an exception today, make the announcements so you don't have to think about staying afterwards. Yeah, please. This theme also is in primary support for our upcoming August 14th event, which is from Sunday. This is what I have to get to, Sunday. So, and that is having its giveaway. This is the last summer activity of Annette, okay? And it is a school supply giveaway for grades K through 12. It's going to be right here in the backyard. And we'll also be hosting a cooking class with Sister Zainab of Vegan Delight. All ages are welcome to join. So this is after the school supply giveaway, which is from 1 to 4 on Sunday, August 1st. Everybody is welcome, invited to come and get their share. So you can email Dr. Peters with any questions that you have at mshspeters@gmail.com. So that's the school supply giveaway on Sunday, and then also a cooking class with Sister Zainab on Sunday from 1 to 4 after the giveaway. There's an anniversary. Fahim and Yolanda Mahasan Shuaib, July 31st. And I do have to, sorry, Amina, it's 49. It's not 48. I hate to correct folks like that. But, yeah, 49. Inshallah, we're cycling for the 50 next week. And I don't mean the police next year. I don't mean the police. Hope you don't have to call the police. All right. So 50 years, 49 this year. Alhamdulillah. Birthdays, Abdullah Sabri, Sauda Muhammad, Tamir Lukman, Ira Baya, and Jamil Kevin Edwards. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you with many more in prosperity, health, and wealth, inshallah. August 14th, major event. That would have been the second half of my khutbah, focusing on that, had not the turn of events occurred as they did. But mashallah. So in order to participate, the graduate must have promoted from kindergarten, 5th or 6th grade, 8th or 9th grade, or graduated from 12th grade or any college or university. And it's for parents of members of Masjid Warathin and grandparents who are members of Masjid Warathin and the legal guardian of the graduate. We are accepting sponsorships. And this is a semi-formal event. So you got to pull out your suit, pull out your sport coat, pull out that special scarf and dress that you got, and be there. Congratulations to Dr. Saba Ashura Raib, Stanford University. Now, you're saying something when you say Stanford. Now, you already know. Dr. Saba Ashura Raib, Stanford University, Pediatric Anesthesia Fellowship. Congratulations to her on that. This is July 11th. 2021. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much for your patience. Wa alaikum as-salam. Allahu Akbar. Yes, sir. Shukran. La ilaha Allah, Sayyidi Muhammad Rasulullah. Stow, istakima, yuhamukum Allah, wa tabukum Allah. Make our real state and even leave no space between us. Appreciate the shaitan to divide us, and you can take that at your own, but the current guidelines do not stipulate that there must be 6 feet, so it's your choice. We got chairs and others back there as well. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Ad-Din إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإلاف قريش ألا بهم رحلة شتاء وصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جوع وآمنه من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماءون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله. استقبل الله. Don't let the shaitan take your day. Hey, what's up?
All right,
everything's beautiful. Let me set this out here. I'm locked up.